Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
Sometimes when we speak, we think that we have all of the answers. Well, we think that at least we have most of the answers. And we believe that we have the final word on things. And though it is true that in the Bible, which is the Word of God, we find all that we need for life and for godliness while we are here on this earth, still, there are things that the Lord has not revealed to us. There are things that remain a mystery to us, and they will only be made known to us when we are with Him in eternity. But what we do know, we are to apply to our lives. We are to live according to the light that we have been given. But as we have seen, as we have looked at the first 12 chapters of 1 Corinthians, the believers in that church in the city of Corinth were not living according to that light. They were not living according to the truth that had been given to them. They were living under the assumption that they had it all together in their walk with the Lord, that they had no need for anyone to tell them much of anything at all. Yet, they were consumed in their sin. There was an atmosphere of pride and of arrogance in the church. They focused on themselves. They focused on their spiritual gifts, the gifts that they had been given by the Lord, but gifts that were to be used to help their brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. But instead, they used those gifts to exalt themselves. So at the end of chapter 12, Paul says to them, "I show you a still more excellent way, a superior way, a way of contentment, a way of harmony, a way of unity, the way of truth, the way of love." And so in chapter 13, Paul launches into a discussion concerning what was missing in the church in Corinth, yet what was essential. They thought that they had it all. But what they were missing was love. Love for each other. Love for Christ, love for His Word. And the word that Paul uses for love throughout this entire chapter is the Greek word agape. A rare word in Greek literature outside of the Bible, because this is the kind of love that is not concerned about itself. But this is the kind of love that is concerned about other people. This is the kind of love that sacrifices itself for others, whether they deserve it or not. But this is a virtue that was not valued among the people in that culture. But as we know, this is the kind of love that God has demonstrated to us when He sent His Son to die for us, even though we did not deserve it, even though we are told we were His enemies. But in their pride and in their arrogance, this was the kind of love that was missing from the church in Corinth. And perhaps it is missing from the church in many places today. So, This chapter is a reminder to us, isn't it? It is perhaps a wake-up call. Maybe it is a warning for us today. But it is like a breath of fresh air, because it is the language of love. It is the language of the heart, a language that we must learn how to speak, a language that we must learn how to live if we are followers of Jesus Christ. Because in John chapter 13, Jesus himself said that the world will know that we belong to him if we have love for one another and love for those around us. So Paul begins in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and he says this: "If I was able to speak with the tongues," glossa in Greek, "with the language of a skillful tongue, the language of the most eloquent men on this earth, if I could speak like that, or if I could even speak with the clarity and the fluency of angels who stand before the throne of God in heaven and who lift up his name in perfect praise and in adoration. If I could speak like that, but I do not have love. I don't have love for the people to whom I am speaking. Well, then it wouldn't be eloquence at all. I would have become like a noisy bronze gong or like a clanging bronze cymbal." And the city of Corinth was known for the quality of its bronze. And when that bronze was struck, it would resonate with a melodic sound. So what's Paul saying? Without love, all of our words are not melodic at all. They're meaningless. They're just a bunch of noise. Or he says, if I have the gift of prophecy, prophetia in Greek, if I claim to speak for God and I can articulate the truth of his word so that the people understand it, so that they apply it to their lives, or if I claim to understand all the mysteries of God, mysterion, the hidden things that have been revealed by God, if I could do that, or if I claim to have all knowledge, gnosis in Greek, if I can accurately present the facts of the truth of the word of God, well, or maybe even if I had all faith, pistis in Greek, if I have so much confidence in God so that if he wished, he could remove mountains from my life, all those difficulties in life. But Paul says in verse 2, if I had all of that, and I do not have love, then I am nothing. Oudis in Greek. All that I do has no value at all. Because love demonstrates the character of God. It demonstrates the character of Christ. And when love is missing in all that I do, it adds up to nothing. And Paul adds in verse 3, even if I give all of my possessions, somizo in Greek, if I sell everything that I've got and I use that money to buy a morsel of bread for the poor and I dedicate my life to that noble task, as many do. Or he says, even if I deliver my body up to be burned as a sacrifice for Christ in an agonizing death. He says, if I do all of these things, but I do not have love, it profits me nothing. Ophelia, Greek, it has no eternal value. And so in the end, all of those things are worthless. It's a pretty strong statement, isn't it? So what is love really all about then? What is the essence of this kind of love? The love that the Spirit of God has put into our heart. What is it like? How will we know it? Beginning in verse 4, Paul tells us. He tells us what this kind of love is like, and he says, this kind of love is, well, it's not just a feeling. This kind of love is a decision. It's a decision that we make. This is a decision that we make from our heart. This kind of love, he says, is patient. Makrothomeo in Greek. It is long-suffering. It chooses to forgive despite being treated poorly by others. This kind of love does not retaliate even when the opportunity to retaliate is there, as Jesus demonstrated in Luke 23:34, as he was dying on a cross and he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And Paul says this kind of love is kind. Histuomai in Greek. It is gracious. It reaches out to help other people. It gives itself away. This kind of love is not jealous. Zeloo in Greek. It doesn't long for what other people have. It doesn't envy the success of others. And this kind of love doesn't brag about itself. Perperuomai. It's not full of hot air, elevating itself, parading itself around in front of others. And this kind of love is not arrogant, phusioo in Greek. It's not puffed up inside like a blowfish with an attitude that exalts itself above other people. And Paul continues in verse 5. To help us to understand what this love is like, he says, this kind of love doesn't act unbecomingly. Askemoneo in Greek. It's not rude. It doesn't embarrass or humiliate other people, but it shows respect to all people. This kind of love doesn't seek its own things. It is not selfish. It always insisting on its own way. This kind of love is not easily provoked. Paraxuno in Greek, it's not easily irritated and ready to argue all of the time. Well, something to be learned from that, isn't there? This kind of love does not take into account a wrong suffered to it. Logizomai in Greek. This is an accounting term. It doesn't keep records, doesn't keep a ledger in its head so that later on it can settle that account. And Paul adds in verse 6, this kind of love doesn't rejoice in unrighteousness, in wickedness, turning the truth of God upside down so that it makes evil appear to be good and it doesn't make good appear to be evil. But it rejoices with the truth of the word of God, along with the angels of heaven. This kind of love is amazing. It bears all things, Paul says in verse 7. Stego in Greek. Like the roof that covers a house. It covers others with silence. It protects them from ridicule and from harm. It doesn't gossip, and it doesn't listen to gossip. But in love, it corrects that person if necessary. We don't try to justify their sin, but at the same time, we don't seek to broadcast their failures on the internet. We feel the pain of the one caught in that sin. And so, we carry that burden, the burden of their hurt. This kind of love believes all things, Paul says. It's not suspicious. It's not cynical, but it is a haven of trust. And if that trust is broken, then we seek to restore that person in a spirit of gentleness. In addition to that, Paul says, this kind of love hopes all things. Elpizo in Greek. It's steadfast. It's unshakable. It doesn't despair. But this kind of love anticipates an outcome that is right and good. And over the course of time, this kind of love endures all things. Hupomeno in Greek. It's a military term. We persevere in the battle. We hold our position at all costs. We don't retreat, even though the odds seem to be overwhelming. The love of God, Paul tells us in verse 8, the love that he has put in our heart never fails. Pipto in Greek. It never shrivels up like the petals of a flower that fall to the ground. Never collapses. It's permanent. It's permanent because it's the love of God, and the love of God goes on forever. But in contrast to that, Paul points out in verse 8, if there are gifts of prophecy among you, they will be done away. Katargeo in Greek. They will become inoperative because someday they will not be needed anymore. Something, some event will cause them to stop forever. And he says, if there are gifts of tongues, languages, they will cease. Different word, paro in Greek. They will stop on their own like a flashlight with a limited power supply. They will fade away into the darkness, never to return again. And he adds, if there is the gift of knowledge, well, that too will be done away. Katargeo. Something will cause it to stop as well. For now, in this life, Paul tells us in verse 9, even with all that we have in Christ, we still know in part. We're limited in our understanding. And if we prophesy and we proclaim the truth, we do that in part, he says. The more that we know, the more that we realize how much we do not know. But, he says, when the perfect comes, teleos in Greek, the end of all things, this is the event that he's just been talking about. When the perfection of eternity comes, then our partial understanding will be done away. Again, it is the Greek word katargeo. The dawn of eternity will bring our limited understanding to an end, and so we will not need preaching anymore. We will not need teaching. Paul says, let me make this comparison to you. Says, look, certainly it's true that when I was a child, I used to speak as a child. I used to think as a child. I used to reason as a child, because I was a child. But when I became a man, then I did away with childish things. Katargeo in Greek. They became inoperative in my life. So now I function as a man. And so it is in the spiritual world. Now we are spiritual children, babies. And he says, it is like we see in a mirror, dimly, enigma in Greek. We see in a riddle. We see with some perplexity, like the mirrors in Corinth that were made of polished bronze. Things are not always clear to us. Some things are obscure, and we are limited by the frame of that mirror. We can't see everything, can we? Well, of course not. But, Paul says in verse 12, someday, in eternity, in the presence of the Lord, we will see face to face, prosopon in Greek. Everything will become clear and accurate and complete. And as with seeing, so it is with knowing, he says. Now on this earth, he says, I know in parts. But then in eternity, I shall know fully. Epigenosko in Greek. I will have a full understanding of things, just as I also have been fully known by the Lord right now. But for now, Paul tells us in verse 13, these things abide. These things remain. Faith, the expectation of eternity, and hope, the confidence of our eternal destiny, and love, the love of God, which has been poured out into our hearts. These three abide. Meno in Greek. They continue on. But, Paul adds, the greatest of these is love. Why? Because love lasts forever. Because love is something that is true of God forever. In Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.